You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
The fellas are off today. Luke Morrow and Chris Partee with you here on this Memorial Day. And we will go around the NFL. You can text the show throughout 713-572-4610 to join the conversation. Keep sending those answers to the question of the day. I always like to use the question of the day throughout the show, not just for the one segment. So send in your answers. Which Houston athlete, past or present, would you most like to have at the family cookout today? But let's go around the NFL because plenty is going on there.
Oh, yeah.
ESPN just put out this article this morning where they looked at the most underrated player at each position. And for quarterback, they said Brock Purdy. I'm putting you on the spot, Chris, but would you say Brock Purdy is the most underrated quarterback currently in the NFL?
Ooh.
He just signed that big contract,
too. He did. Most underrated. I mean, I don't look at him as the most underrated. No. I look at him now. I don't think he's a top five quarterback.
No, I agree with that.
Not a top five, but if I'm going top 10 to 12, I think he falls somewhere in that range, or if not close to it. So I don't think he's the most underrated. And I would have said this even before the contract. Now, the Niners had a rough season in 2024, but there was so much that went into that. As far as injuries, just, you know, different things going on in San Francisco or in Santa Clara, technically. But no, not the most underrated to me at the position.
I also wonder if the contract plays into that. Like, when you give them all that money, can you still call a guy underrated? I know it's not about the money. It's more about public perception. But obviously the Niners or the league in general felt like we value him enough. He's good enough. We're going to pay him whatever it is, $50 million.
But isn't money usually part of the public, you know, perception when a guy gets paid?
Mm-hmm.
I think that influences the perception of not just fans, but of, you know, the media, guys like us that are talking about it, writing about it, you know, living it every day. Whether you're actually covering the team directly or not, we still see what's going on the field, right? We may not know what's going on, everything behind the scenes in their building, but we see what's going on the field, and that's, you know, what this really comes down to. So, no, I can't say he's the most underrated. Not for me, at least. Not for me. Now, I just wonder how sometimes some of these lists like this, are they getting multiple opinions, or is it?
No, this was Aaron Schatz who started Football Outsiders.
Okay, so it's one person's opinion.
Yeah.
So, and I've done articles like that where, you know, I do a list of certain things, and this is my opinion.
Right.
And I've also done it to where, you know, wherever I've been working at the time, you know, I get other people on the staff to vote on these things, and I go about it in that way. So, but when it's just one person, it's like, okay, well, that's more of an opinion than actually different people giving their opinions, but like more of a vote. You know what I mean? You're not getting more than one perspective, I should say.
Yeah, and he's a very analytical guy. He went with Brock Purdy. Because of that contract, I think a lot of people would say Purdy's probably overrated now. Which I guess then plays into the idea that he could say, no, I think he's underrated. You guys are all calling him overrated. I'm going to flip it on you. He's underrated.
I've seen people call him overrated, too.
Absolutely.
Even before the contract.
Yeah.
You saw that. So, yeah.
What about after the season he had last year, the talks this offseason, lack thereof, could you make the case that not the most overrated, but could you make the case C.J. Stroud, or pardon me, not the most underrated, but could you make the case that C.J. Stroud has now become an underrated quarterback in the NFL? Last year, people were comparing him to Patrick Mahomes heading into last season. Now, I saw Pro Football Focus put out a list where he wasn't even in their top 10 quarterbacks heading into this year.
Just overall?
Yeah. Is Stroud, has he really suddenly become underrated because of the down season last year?
Probably. I mean, we're so knee-jerk reaction and and prisoner of the moment about everything. Even after the first year where you got the comparisons like you just mentioned to Patrick Mahomes, I was like, all right, let's slow down.
Yep.
Personally, I like to see a guy, especially at the quarterback position, give me 2 to 3 years of, you know, consistent play, like well above average, if not good to great. Then, you know, we can kind of start having some comparisons. But, I mean, it's hard to compare a guy after 1 year to a Patrick Mahomes, who at the time had already been in the league, what, 6, 7 years, been to multiple Super Bowls and won multiple Super Bowls. It's hard to compare a guy. Now, maybe we're projecting to say, okay, he will be like this guy eventually. But to throw that on a guy, on a young guy after 1 year, I just thought that was too much. So I'm just not a fan of that. I try not to be prisoner of the moment, but sometimes I get so caught up in the excitement of certain players or a certain team because they're doing well at the time. It's hard not to get caught up in that, especially with social media, because you see, you know, nothing but highlights a lot of times.
It's true.
It's hard not to get caught up in that, but I try hard not to do that. I really do, in analyzing players, teams, coaches, whatever it may be.
As we go around the NFL, Aaron Rodgers continues to make headlines. He was on Joe Rogan's podcast last week, but that's not what we're going to talk about. Instead, I don't even know where this was. I just saw this clip floating around where he's like on a stage in front of a crowd talking. I don't know where this was. I think maybe it was part of a live podcast. But Aaron Rodgers made a comment about, you know, the Chicago Bears. Chicago doesn't really like me. Alluded to maybe seeing them in week 13 when the Steelers are scheduled to play the Bears. So people are taking this as like a wink, wink. I'm going to be on the Steelers this year. Dan Graziano this morning said, Aaron Rodgers is not really any better than Mason Rudolph.
Wow.
If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, who would you rather have as your starting quarterback this year, Chris? Aaron Rodgers or Mason Rudolph?
If you're going for headlines, which is not really the Steelers' MO, you're going with Aaron Rodgers. Now, if you're just talking about strictly play on the field, even though, you know, I was calling Aaron Rodgers washed, going back to his final year in Green Bay, if you go back and look at that year, it wasn't the previous two MVP years. It wasn't even close. I just, because he's Aaron Rodgers, I would probably still go with him over Mason Rudolph. But personally, I don't even know why the Steelers are allowing him to waste their time like this and string it, unless they already have something, a handshake agreement behind the scenes that no one's privy to other than the people involved, obviously the front office and Aaron Rodgers. But he's just stringing them along like we've seen him do before and like we saw Brett Favre do years ago.
Yeah.
He's just stringing them along. So, I mean, but, you know, with all that being said, I mean, how much has Mason Rudolph really showed us in the NFL? Let's just be honest. He's had a couple good games here and there, but I mean, how much has he really shown us? I mean,
well, that's the remarkable thing with the Steelers. As a starter, he's 8-4. This is just like the Mike Tomlin way with Duck Hodges. He'll get you to the playoffs. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, who the quarterback is.
They win games, and I can't figure it out. I don't understand it. So I would much rather have Rodgers than Mason Rudolph. But then, like I just said, when Mason Rudolph has played for the Steelers, he's gone 8-4. Maybe they could be okay. They're not going to win a Super Bowl, but maybe, you know, they could be okay with Rudolph this year.
But to speak to that, they're not going to win it even with Aaron Rodgers.
No, I wouldn't pick them, no.
So, I mean, you kind of almost just, you know, it's a toss-up. But I do not care. But I really am I'm shocked. I don't get shocked often by many things, especially in sports. But I'm shocked that this franchise is allowing any player to really string them along, especially a player that has not suited up for them yet. It's not like he's been there like a Ben Roethlisberger or somebody else was. He hasn't played for them yet, and they're just allowing him. So that tells me that they're, you know, at a desperation point, in my opinion. They're desperate. They just are.
Yeah, I said this, I think it was a couple weeks ago now. If I'm the Steelers, like, I'm just moving on. And I know Rodgers has said he's had personal things. We got more information that came out on that. I think someone close to him is dealing with cancer right now, so he's trying to be supportive of that person. And I totally understand that. I can empathize, but you look around the NFL, there's a lot of guys, I'm sure, that are going through things.
And that was going to be my response.
There's people in this building, I'm sure, that are going through things, right? But you still...
You don't want to make light of it.
You can still do your job. You have to.
Make a decision.
Yeah.
Even if you ask them for more time to before you actually have to come in, but make a decision. That's my thing. Everyone is dealing with something, right? I mean, there are probably other players on that Steelers team who are dealing with family issues.
Of course.
Maybe not the same thing, but again, it just goes back to Aaron Rodgers. And again, not to make light of what a family member of his may be going through. Not to make light of it, but it's always about him. It just is. It's always about him.
I would need more of a handshake deal too. If I'm the Steelers,
of course,
I would need him to have actually signed like a contract already that nobody knows about or that goes into effect. There's an out clause until a certain something along those lines. Because a handshake deal to me, of course, anyone you could always go back on that. And it's like, man, we waited around all offseason for you, and now you're gonna bail because JJ McCarthy doesn't look so good, and the Vikings are now interested.
Yeah. We keep hearing the Vikings.
I don't see it.
I don't either. The Vikings keep popping up, but I feel like the Vikings are set on JJ McCarthy. You don't draft him in the first round if you're not. You don't waste that pick only to say, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers is available 2 years later. Even though we know he's declined as a quarterback, he's not the great Aaron Rodgers that we once knew. That won 4 MVPs, that won, you know, led a team to a Super Bowl, went to multiple conference championship games. No, he's not that guy anymore. So I don't see that happening. But yeah, like you said, I'm surprised the Steelers have not moved on. If I were running the Steelers, I would have moved on already.
Yeah, I would too. I'd have a little pride. I mean, you're the Steelers. That's what I think was Cam Hayward, one of their players, said. Like, we're the Steelers. We shouldn't have to sell ourselves so strong for somebody to want to come play for us.
And that's the thing. We're talking about one of the most popular franchises, you know, that goes back decades for the NFL.
Yeah.
Their fan base, they're one of those fan bases. They're one of the, like, original traveling fan bases. We talk about fan bases that travel. They were traveling decades ago to go to other stadiums and fill up other stadiums. This is not something new for the Steelers. This is what they've done. So I'm just surprised that they've actually allowed this to be strong. I mean, it's going to be June in, like, 2 days. 3 days, whatever it is, end of the week, whatever it is, it'll be June. And I guarantee you by the end of this week, we will not have a resolution to this issue.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
I don't get it.
As we go around the NFL, a couple of quick hitters in the AFC South. Travis Hunter got married over the weekend, Jaguars star rookie. I know there's a lot of scuttlebutt about his now wife and the backstory and all that sort of stuff. Not going to get into that drama. Instead, he spent $500,000 on the wedding this weekend. So my question to you, could you ever justify yourself or anybody spending $500,000 on a wedding?
No.
Why? I'm with you.
What
did he spend it on exactly?
I mean, now, you're talking to a man who is divorced now, but I would say when I got married, probably total, like including the ring, maybe $3,000 to $4,000, if that. And most of that was the ring.
Dang, you did good.
Yeah, I know. But here's the thing. My ex-wife, she didn't want a big wedding. So I was like, okay, thank you.
Yes.
I was happy about that.
Yeah.
Because, you see, we're no longer together. So I was happy about that.
Chris Partee, the Billy Bean of wedding planning.
Hey, there we go. Hey, I'll take it, man. I'll take it.
Yeah.
What'd you say about economic earlier?
You got to think economically.
There we go. That should be a cut right there, man. Cut that up. Cut that up, Colin.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah.
So, no. $500,000 on a wedding now?
Crazy.
I get it if you have it, okay, but no, still no. Even if I had it, no.
I know. As I always say, no. I have this conversation all the time. Use that money. Go buy your dream house instead. Now you're set up for,
yes,
for life, right? Like, put that money elsewhere.
Or when she leaves, she takes the house.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Instead of spending all that on one day,
oh,
which is a party, really, for everyone else.
That's, and that's really what it is. You're really flexing for everyone else.
Of course.
That's what it is. But some people are into that. I'm not really into that. I don't really care. I don't care about all that.
No, me either.
Right.
I would never have a wedding costing. Even if I had the money, I could never justify spending that much on one day.
It's just crazy.
Last thing on Around the NFL. The Colts announced the succession plan. Thoughts and prayers out to the Irsay family. I was on the air last week,
yeah,
when the story came out, and I always liked Jim Irsay. And so it was really, it was stunning when I got the news. I'm sad to see it. Sorry for the organization, the family, everyone that knew Jim. But now moving forward, as we look at it from a football story perspective, his three daughters are going to take over the organization. They all have different roles. I don't want to kick the organization when they're down, but when you go back and you look, the organizations like the Lions, the Bears, the Raiders, the Saints, the teams that get handed down because the owner passes away,
yeah,
usually are messes and are not well operated. Where you look at the organizations that have been really successful lately, Patriots, it's just Robert Kraft since he bought the team. Jeffrey Lurie in Philadelphia, right? Like, he's the one that bought the team. The one exception is the Chiefs, where Clark Hunt took over for his father, but that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it took to getting Mahomes.
He's been there a long time. But even within that time, before Patrick Mahomes, they had some success here and there. Maybe not Super Bowls, but they had seasons where they were good.
Yeah.
They weren't just a miserable mess for 20 years.
Yeah, right. But still, my point being, like, the track record shows.
No, I get what you're saying.
It doesn't usually work out.
It doesn't usually work out.
When you hand the team down on these kids, all due respect, and these daughters, they just lost their father. So I'm sorry if this comes off as insensitive, but when you look at it from a football perspective, it just usually doesn't work out when it's not the original. When you just get the team handed to you, and maybe you're not as passionate, or you're not as interested, or you're not as invested, or you didn't spend as much time around the organization, like, the original owner who bought the team for a reason. This is what he wanted. This was his life. He was there every day.
Passion.
Yeah, right, passion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it usually doesn't work out as well. So if you're a Texans fan, of course, we don't celebrate anyone's death.
I'm
sad to see Irsay leave. But when you now try to project the future of the Colts as just a football organization, you know, I don't know if this bodes well for the Colts here long term.
Well, I mean, even before, and it did feel like it really came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, it just popped up, you know, and he was a regular on Twitter or X for a long time. And then all of a sudden you get that news and it's like, okay, this is one of those ones where you say, is this real?
I know.
Like, you have to check multiple sources. Like, you know, we get hoaxes all the time. Oh, so-and-so this, so-and-so that. But no,
I was legitimately shocked when I saw the Schefter tweet. And I was like, exactly. Is, like, this a parody account? Is this real?
Like, okay, this is real. If Schefter's tweeting, yeah, it's real.
Yeah, I was surprised. Hey, coming up, does Rob Ninkovich hold the secret to the Texans' success this year? We'll get to that next. It's In the Loop.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This Memorial Day, we remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. Thank you from all of us at Sports Radio 610. In for In the Loop, here's Luke Morrow and Chris Partee.
Happy to be filling in for the fellas today on Memorial Day. Appreciate you hanging with us. Coming up here, does Rob Ninkovich hold the secret to the Texans' success this year? We'll get to that in a moment. Our question of the day today: I always like to keep it going throughout the show. Which Houston athlete would you like to have, past or present, at the family barbecue today? And then I asked you, you know, is there a difference between a cookout, barbecue, grilling, so on and so forth? You can always text the show, 713-572-4610, and appreciate the answers on the text line. A barbecue can be a cookout, but a cookout is not always a barbecue. That's what I was trying to get to earlier. Yeah. I agree with that. Cookout is something that's from the 832. Also from the 832, different texter says, cookout is something quick like burgers and hot dogs. Barbecue is something low and slow, potentially tossed in a sauce.
I can tossed get in the that. Sauce. I like that.
That makes sense. Cookout and grilling are interchangeable. Barbecue is different from those two, says another text from the 832.
We need to ask our local, our resident barbecue expert, John Lopez.
True.
Yeah, John, where you at?
Yeah, get him on the horn today, whatever he's doing.
John.
He's probably out fishing right now.
John, I know you're fishing right now, but just
you know, this is
very important. Yeah. What's the difference between a barbecue and a cookout?
Yeah, we need your take on this.
That's right. Cookout from the 713. Cookout is like hot dogs and burgers. Barbecue is brisket, smoked chicken, ribs, pork shoulder, stuff like that. All makes sense. Just for me growing up, I think it was all used interchangeably. Then you come down to an area that's really about, you know, passionate about their barbecue.
And yeah.
That's where you find the nuance in all those different terms. The Texans. We'll get to Rob Ninkovich in a second about the Texans this year. But, you know, I brought this up a couple weeks ago, actually on this show with John Lopez at the time. And, Chris, you and I haven't worked together since the NFL schedule has been released.
Yeah.
Vegas has the win total at 9.5 for the Texans, actually with the under 9.5 juiced. So that's the favorite, is winning less than 9.5 games in Vegas. Where do you have the Texans this year? If you had to make your prediction here today on Memorial Day, what do you have the Texans record in 2025?
Well, we went through the schedule, actually. I believe the day it was released, me and Bajani on Area 45 that night. And if I remember correctly, just going through all the games, I don't remember all the games I picked them winning, but I believe I had them winning like 11 games.
Okay, so you put them at 11-6.
Just based on looking at the matchups. Now, obviously, we haven't seen the teams this year, but just going off of, you know, what teams did in the offseason and what the Texans done or may not have done in the offseason, I believe I had them, you know, it was either 10 or it might have been 11. So that, you know, I'm going to stick with that. That's where, that's what I picked. That's where I have them right now. Now, after we get through OTAs, training camps, we'll see what happens. That my opinion may change. I have the right to change my opinion. But
of course,
right now, I believe I had them at 11 wins. So, I mean, and from what I hear, most people at the station, most fans, you know, are not picking them to win that many games. You know, I still hear a lot of people saying 10 wins, somewhere right around 10.
Yeah, I think 10 is the most common answer given. I would probably say 10-7. I have not gone through, done the win-loss thing, but it just feels like a 10-win, you know, 10 wins sounds good. As I said, Vegas has it at 9.5, so they have it right there. I asked this to John Lopez, and I'll ask you as well, because like I said, we haven't had a chance to talk about it, you and I, but if the Texans do go 10-7 for the third straight year, while having the star quarterback on that rookie contract here early on, right before having to pay the quarterback, how would you feel for the Texans if three straight seasons you go 10-7, and just from a record perspective, look, maybe they win a playoff game, lose in the second round, which would be the same season playing out three straight years. 10 wins, one playoff win, lose second round. How would you feel about that three-year progression where it seems like from year one to year three, there's just not much growth?
Well, if that's
how it plays out this year.
If they win 10 games again and go out in the second round of the playoffs again, you can't say they aren't consistent.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that'd be three straight years winning the division, more than likely, at 10 wins, and 3 years in a row of winning a playoff game. Now, most fans are going to say that's not acceptable, and I get it, because where's the growth, where's the progression? Now, not all 10-win seasons are, you know, built the same. Because if you look at the first year and you look at the second year, it feels like if you just don't look at the record and you look at, you know, if you don't just look at the standings and say you look at statistics, look at what C.J. Stroud did, look at what the offense did in general. From the defense has, you know, pretty much been on par year one and two as far as C.J. Stroud goes the last 2 years. Defense has been there. The defense is really what carried them last year. And without that defense playing so well, they may be an 8-win team, maybe a 7-win team. That defense, you know, I think that's a top five, top six defense. I think they'll be there again this year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think most fans would look at that and say, well, where's the progression? We keep winning 10 games, and we were just talking during the break, talking about the Colts and, you know, the change in ownership, the team being handed down. But we mentioned, you know, I mentioned how the Colts have been looking to find a quarterback since Andrew Luck left right before the 2019 season. But those previous 3 years, they went 11-5 all 3 years. And I believe they made it to an AFC title game at least one of those years. So if you get to the playoffs and you get a deep run, now obviously we have to get through the season first, but you get a deep run, I don't think Texans fans would be mad at that. I wouldn't be mad at that. You win 10 games again, but you get to the AFC championship game. Let's say you face the Chiefs, whatever, whoever it is. That's, to me, that's an improvement.
Yeah,
because you took it a step further.
Yeah, so, which is what you have to do this year.
Which is what, yeah, that's what you want. You keep getting to the wild card. You can win the wild card game, but when you get to that divisional round, it's like the wheels just fall off. So you, this is what fans, this is what everyone wants to see, progression, growth.
Of course.
You know. Now, if they come out and they win only 8 games, then obviously, you know, that's going to be a clear step or two back, right? But if we're talking about 10 wins again, it just really depends on how the season pans out. Honestly, because not all 10 win seasons are built the same. And we've seen that the past 2 years. They didn't look exactly the same.
Yeah, I think it always comes down to the playoffs. I got to do better in the playoffs this year than the past 2 years. But I think it also all comes down to how far this team goes, comes down to the offensive line. Now, here is Rob Ninkovich on Boston Sports Radio. I think this was 98.5 Sports Hub, I believe. I want to give the proper credit. Anyways, here's Ninkovich talking about maybe he knows the secret to success. They were talking about the Patriots, but in the sound clip, maybe he reveals the secret to the Texans' success this year.
They had a great assistant coach under Scarnecchia, right? That's Cole Popovich, right? He was the assistant offensive line coach who was here, who in the last 3 years, he left because the whole COVID thing and the mandated. He didn't get vaccinated.
Oh.
Okay.
Right? So if you didn't, because it was a league mandated thing, it wasn't just, hey, the Patriots, it was a league thing. All the coaches and staff had to have it. Well, he didn't feel comfortable with it.
Yeah.
So he.
Smart man.
Left.
So he left.
He left. So then after he leaves, you bring in somebody else and you've had some issues at the offensive line. You bring in another guy that used to play here, but maybe you had one of the best coaches right there.
Who was with Dante for a long time.
Yes. Yeah. And then he had to leave because. Yeah.
So then it's not really about the talent you have, because if you can get a good coach like Scarnecchia, who basically got Steve Nail off of a wrestling mat and turned him into a great player.
Well, it's a good balance between having a great coach and understanding how do I get the most out of each player.
Rob Ninkovich talking on Boston Radio about the Patriots, but within that, giving some good praise to Cole Popovich, the new offensive line coach for the Texans, was the assistant last year, elevated to the head offensive line coach this year. Chris, you hear that audio. What do you think? Does that give you more confidence in Popovich, this offensive line, this Texans offense?
Yeah, I mean, getting that, you know, endorsement there, that should make Texans fans feel pretty good. Now, obviously, we got to see what happens. There are still some questions about the offensive line in terms of, you know, the players or who may start the season on the offensive line in, you know, in certain slots. But to get that endorsement from a guy like Ninkovich, yeah, that you got to be happy about that, right? Like, how can you be upset at that? Like, that's got to make you feel good about your new offensive line coach.
Yeah, it sounds good. Now, I think when you dig in a little bit more, Dante Scarnecchia is like the greatest offensive line coach of all time. He was the longtime offensive line coach. He retired after 2019. Cole Popovich was still there in 2020. They did not elevate him to the head offensive line coach. He was still assistant in 2020. Yeah. Then in 2021 was when the NFL came up with that mandate that if you're not vaccinated,
yeah,
you can't be in the league right now. So he went to high school, and then he went to Troy. So that was the next 2 years. Then the Texans hired him. And so my point being, like, he had opportunities after that for Belichick to bring him back to New England.
Hmm.
Or Josh McDaniels, who worked with him, I believe that overlaps, or he was the head coach in Las Vegas. And my point being, this was one of my concerns with Nick Caley, too, where they said eventually Caley had to leave New England. He thought he was going to get promoted to offensive coordinator when, I think it was when Bill O'Brien left. And instead they went with Matt Patricia, who does not coach offense.
Yeah, I mean.
And now Caley's the offensive coordinator here at the Texans. So that's my concern, where Belichick, more of a defensive guy, doesn't necessarily know offense, but he had these guys in the building. He had a chance to elevate them to the position. Yeah. never did. They had a chance with other Patriot assistants, right? Never got that opportunity. Now they get it here. Look, Rob Ninkovich would know better than me. He was part of those teams. He was in those practices.
He'd know better than all of us.
But I just, you know, that's just always, that's been a concern of mine all offseason is you had a chance to make Kelly the offensive coordinator at the time. You always sang, Belichick, the Patriots always sang praise, but they never gave him that job. Same with Popovich. Like, you could say he's a really good coach. You had a chance to make him your offensive line coach. You didn't in 2020. Then he leaves. You didn't bring him back when he was able to come back to the NFL. He winds up in Houston with the Texans. That's just my question. That they always say, you know, you don't have to listen to the words when you can see the actions. And the actions, to me, just don't line up with some of the high praise.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point you raised there. But I also feel like Bill Belichick is a guy who might hold the fact that he didn't toe the line and take one for the team with the vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like not being a complete team player, that's something that Belichick might hold against a coach and not bring him back.
Yeah.
Honestly, it could have been for stuff not related to on the field.
That's fair.
That's just kind of how I look at it. But because look at the decision he made with Matt Patricia, a defensive coach.
Yeah.
But he puts him on offense. Had never, as far as I know, had never coached offense, right?
No. Yeah.
I mean, that was mind-boggling for most people.
Yeah.
It just really was.
And I think more of an indictment on Nick Caley at the time. 713 says 10 wins and competitive versus Ravens and Chiefs is acceptable, maybe. I need more than competitive. I need to be on the same level as those teams in year three.
And see, those are two of the games I did not have them winning.
Yeah, I don't think they do. And I think that's a problem in year three, that they have not shrunk that gap at all at this point with the top teams in the AFC. Hey, you might ask, what's poppin', as the kids say on this show around here? Well, we'll tell you next. It's In the Loop.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
Luke Morrow and Chris Partee in for the fellas here on Memorial Day. And it's time to see what's poppin'. Alex Bregman put on the IL over the weekend for the Boston Red Sox with what they call it? Is it a groin? A groin issue?
It's a quad.
Oh, quad, which is the same injury he had a couple years ago that cost him, well, like half the season here in Houston.
That was actually a hamstring.
Oh, that was a hamstring.
Yeah, it was a hamstring.
And this is a quad?
Yeah.
Okay. So a little different.
He's covering the whole middle leg area, upper leg area. There.
Yeah, it's weird because me and Chris were looking at the injury history on FoxSports.com, and there was this injury in 2021 he had, and it literally says legs.
Just legs.
Nothing specific, just legs.
And I'm like, okay, well, there's a lot going on in the legs area.
Yeah.
What part of the, was it the knee? Was it the thigh? Was it the hamstring?
Just tired legs in general.
All his legs. Both legs.
Don't tell Ocho.
Jacked up.
But he had tired legs during a long season.
Hey, it happens.
But if you're the Astros, if you're an Astros fan, do you feel a little bit better that,
of course,
again, you don't take pride in anyone's injury, but you have Paredes playing well at third, and you have Bregman now with this injury. Who knows how long he's out for? You know, do you feel better about that swap that the Astros made this offseason?
Of course you do, because here's the thing. Now, again, not taking any joy in someone's injury. Some people will, but we're not going to do that. But if you're an Astros fan, it's kind of like, okay, well, we've seen this story before. We and Colin's shaking his head, yes, because he's seen it before. He knows this.
Oh, yeah.
He knows this script, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you kind of see it now with Gerrit Cole, and you saw it with Correa. I mean, Springer has been much more healthy. He's been doing his thing in Toronto, but it's just something about guys with the injury histories that the Astros don't, you know, extend, and people want to know why they don't extend it. And now, I mean,
you see it.
This probably would have never happened. I mean, I would have still been satisfied with them not signing Bregman personally.
Yeah.
But this kind of alludes to that. He has a history, and this is probably why the Astros didn't end up puckering up more money for him.
Yeah, and as you get into your 30s, it's going to be harder to avoid these types of recurring injuries that you've had in the past. And if you have an injury history in your 20s as a pro athlete, trust me, it's usually going to carry over into your 30s if you keep playing. That's just not going to go away.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora compared the injury to a similar quad strain that Bregman suffered in 2021, which cost him over 50 games in a two-month stretch.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't bode well. And he was putting up MVP type of numbers for the Red Sox. That's a big loss for them.
He was having a nice season.
Yeah. So we'll see how long this keeps him out for, but they put him on the IL over the weekend. Another baseball news, Colin brought it to our attention during the commercial break. Texas A&M in college baseball, started the season?
Number one,
and they just had the selection show for the College World Series, and they are not going to be part of the postseason.
No, they were not even in the first four. I have to fact check this. I think this is the first time that the preseason number one ranked team did not make it into the NCAA postseason.
Yeah.
So rough week, man. At least for Diamond Sports wise for A&M, because number one softball team in the country, they lost in the regionals to the Liberty Flames. They became the first number one ranked team going into the postseason to not make it past the regionals for softball baseball. You thought that they would make it because they made a good run in the SEC tournament, but they didn't even make the first four out.
Wow. Yeah, they finished 30-26, 11-19 in the SEC. Ouch.
Yikes. Well, I mean, there it is. I mean, that's rough to start the season number one then not make the tournament.
Almost like Kansas basketball this past year. Started the season number one, and they had a bad year.
Yeah.
Shifting gears here on what's popping to the ice. I have to admit, I didn't even know this was going on. I just saw this headline this morning. But Team USA won its first gold medal at the World Championship this weekend in 92 years. Does that move the needle for you?
Congratulations to us, I guess.
America. Yeah.
I mean,
Scorching Eagles.
I'm not a big hockey guy, but I mean, you know, to win a gold medal is serious. That's a big thing. Especially if you haven't done it in 92 years.
Yeah.
I guess it does move the needle a little bit for me. Yeah.
All right. Now I have to
reveal
my, I don't know, ignorance or stupidity. I see the highlight here. Tage Thompson had the goal, and I see the score. It has USA against SUI. Who's SUI? Is that Switzerland? Who's SUI?
Wouldn't Switzerland have a W in there?
Right. Wouldn't they?
Maybe. I don't know. I could be wrong. SUI, I think.
I don't know what
country. I think Colin's looking that up, but I'm drawing a blank here.
All right, I'm glad I'm not missing something obvious.
No, you were right. It is Switzerland.
Is it Switzerland? Okay. There you go.
Okay,
that's at least what the headlines are showing right now.
Well, yeah, hey, we'll go with that. That's what we'll go with.
SUI.
Huh? Either way, USA won.
That's right.
That's all that matters.
Raw America.
Yeah, elsewhere in hockey, allow me to continue to take a victory lap because
more hockey.
We have the Hurricanes and Panthers tonight. In the conference finals, Carolina Hurricanes have lost 15 straight games in the conference finals. I love to see it because I grew up in a family that had season tickets to the Hartford Whalers, and then they stole them away, and they became the Carolina Hurricanes. So I'm glad to see the Hurricanes continue to suck in the playoffs.
So you're here for it.
Yeah, I hope they get swept. I think they're down. I think it's already 3-0. I hope they lose to the Panthers tonight. Good riddance.
Will you watch this clinching game, even parts of it?
No, I won't watch it, but I'll check in on it. Yeah, I'll check the score on my phone. If it's a good game, I'll turn. I do like watching playoff hockey. I don't watch a lot of regular season NHL, You know, Whalers broke my heart. I don't want anything to do with the NHL.
Hey, you know what? I get it. I understand.
Yeah. Do you think Houston gets a hockey team?
I couldn't see it, but I would love it.
I mean, there's just been so much like talk about it. You know, it's just hopefully we talk about it one day on What's Popping.
That's right. Hey, if it ever happens, I'd become the biggest fan, and then I'd get back into hockey. But they've also talked about a team coming back to Hartford for the last 30 years, and it's never come.
And it has not happened.
No. So I always.
But Houston is a major market.
It's true.
So you never know.
It's true. Moving along on What's Popping. NBA playoffs. Yeah. We had the Knicks last night. A little what's good for the goose is good for the gander, whatever that expression is. They erased a 20-point deficit, beat the Pacers. Now it's a 2-1 series. The Pacers have not won a Game 3 in this NBA postseason yet. But with the Knicks winning last night, do you feel like we're heading towards a long series now in the East, or do you think that was just kind of a one-off? They're still down 2-1 on the road. You know, how do you look at the series now?
Well, the Knicks finally made an adjustment, and Tom Thibodeau finally made the adjustment to play more of his bench last night. He usually goes about 7 deep. In a series like this, at the pace that the Pacers play, it's going to be hard to win a series only playing 7 guys because they're tired. I could see in game one, you could see that the Knicks were tired, especially late in the game when some of those shots just didn't have the air under them that they should have. You can tell guys didn't have their legs a lot of times, so no. But in the beginning, I picked the Pacers in 6 to start, so I thought it was going to be a longer series.
You sticking with that? You still think it's 6 now?
I'm going to go 5 now.
Ooh, yeah. So the Pacers win the next 2.
Just in general, I don't think the Knicks are as good a team as the Pacers. Now, I could be a little biased because Reggie Miller is my favorite player ever, and I grew up a Pacer fan, even though I'm from California.
So that's fair,
I'm a little biased, but
now the truth comes out.
Yeah, the truth comes out. Now I'm a little biased. I can be honest about that, but I'm gonna say 5 now.
So there's actually contributing to What's Popping. John Halliburton is now going to be allowed to attend Pacer home games.
I saw a buddy of mine send me that a little while ago. He's back. He's back.
That is so soft.
He's back. Well, did you see Barkley calling for it? I think after game 1, I believe, or game 2, he was calling for, he's like, I'm going to make a call to the commissioner. Who knows if he actually did that. He's like, we need John Halliburton. He's like, he's served his punishment, paid his dues. He made a mistake. He won't do it again. We hope he doesn't do it again.
Yeah.
Even though I'm rooting for the Pacers, I thought what he did was just, it was too much. Like, why are you?
Of course
you,
it was.
Why are you on the court?
Can you, familiarize me with what he did? Because I kind of forgot.
So after the Pacers eliminated the Bucks in round 2, he's, you know, everybody's celebrating. He's going wild, but he gets up in Giannis Antetokounmpo's face talking trash.
Oh, like, yeah.
I'm in court.
Like he was going to, like he was going to do something to a man that's 6'11, 265, 70 pounds.
Yeah, you're lucky that Giannis is such a,
is a cool
as good
guy.
Of a guy
Giannis
as he is.
Is a cool guy.
If that's a meta world peace or whatever he's going by these days.
Nah, you don't run up on a...
Things could have gotten real ugly. That could have been an ugly moment for the NBA.
Now, meta world peace might be different, but Ron Artest, you don't run up on that guy.
I was thinking the exact
same
thing.
You don't run up
two
on...
Two different people.
You wasn't running up on Ron Artest. Meta world peace changed his ways. That's why he's meta world peace.
I actually love Meta. I've had him on my radio show numerous times. I've talked to him on and off the air. Great dude. It's really weird. He's kind of crazy, and we know what happened with the, you know, in Detroit.
Yeah.
But I've always enjoyed my conversations with him.
That season, that 2004-05 season when the malice happened, it still haunts me because I felt like that was their best chance for Reggie to win a title.
Sure was.
They were 10-1, I believe 9-1 when that happened. That game was over. They had a 15-point lead. There was really no reason for any of that to happen.
I watched.
And then it just all crumbled from there. Like, so I still kind of shed a tear over that season.
I watched that moment live. You're right. It was a blowout. There was no reason to watch, but I was waiting for sport. It was an ESPN game. I was waiting for SportsCenter to come on.
When we did that.
So, yeah, right.
When we waited for SportsCenter
to come on. I had gotten home. I think it was a Saturday night or a Friday. It was a weekend.
It was like a Friday, I believe.
Yeah.
I remember it. I remember the date to a T, everything.
I had gotten home from being out. I threw on ESPN to catch up on what I missed in the sports world because this was obviously before smartphones.
Yeah.
And I saw, I was like, oh, this game's a blowout, but there's only, whatever, 2 minutes left. SportsCenter's about to come on. And then, yeah, that broke. That happened. I was like, oh, my God. I couldn't believe what I saw.
So I was actually, I didn't get to watch that game. I was on my way home from work, and I started getting messages from like two or three of my friends. Are you watching the game? Are you seeing what's happening? I'm like, no. So I actually, I kept getting messages. So I actually pulled over to see what was going on. This is, you know, I don't even think there was really like in the advent of smartphones yet.
It was still just regular 2004.
Cell phones. So called one of my buddies and he's telling me and I'm like, no way. So I get home and then they're showing it everywhere. Right then, I knew that half the Pacers team was going to be done for the year because this is the David Stern era. David Stern didn't mess around.
No, unlike Adam Silver, who
did not mess around. He allows
Mr.
anything.
Halliburton to come back. Ridiculous. What sort of punishment is that? Now he can be there to see them win the East. He could be there for the NBA Finals. Big whoop. You missed a couple playoff games in the middle of the playoff run. Soft.
I never thought it would last the whole playoffs for as long as they are going to be in it. I never thought it was going to last for the remainder of their extent in the playoffs.
It was like those Yankee fans that tried to rip the ball out of the glove of who was it, Mookie Betts, whoever in the World Series.
Yeah.
And they didn't even get banned until Major League Baseball had to step in. The Yankees weren't even going to do anything. The Yankees, I think, took away their tickets for like the next game. That was it. Oh, big deal. And then Major League Baseball finally came in and said, yeah, no, they're no longer allowed in, I think, any stadium, not just Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, soft by the Yankees. Same idea here by the NBA. Ban him for at least the rest of the playoffs. I would have no problem if he can never come back.
Really? Ever?
Yeah, well, who do you think you are? You can't go on the court getting Giannis's face.
I get it.
How many points did you score? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of family members getting on the court, but, you know, how family members will go online and tweet stuff about players. Yeah. Like, I'm just not a fan of that. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of
that. Go celebrate with your son
that
they just won instead of going to find Giannis to talk trash like you contributed to the series.
Yeah, it was too much.
And Giannis said afterwards in his press conference, like, hey, why don't you wait till you win something first before you start talking trash? Like, I've won a championship.
He did say that. Yeah. He did. Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing, but that was his message.
But he's right.
Yeah. Now we'll see if Pacers might finally. I don't think they will. I don't think anyone from the East can beat the Thunder.
Don't think so?
No.
No.
Real quick, because we have to go, but tonight, game four, Thunder Timberwolves, Thunder lead 2-1.
Yeah.
Nothing but blowouts so far. Do you think we get an interesting series or just more blowouts in the West?
I think it might get more interesting from here. You know, I still think the Thunder are going to win the series, and they'll probably win it in five, but I think these remaining games could be closer. The Timberwolves showed some fight. They did. And I think they'll continue to show some fight. I just don't think they're, like you said, they're just not good enough right now.
No, they're not.
To beat the Thunder. The Thunder are so deep. They're so deep.
Yeah.
They are deep.
Yep. They wear these teams down. It'd be interesting if they played the Knicks. You know, it's contrasting styles.
Sweep.
Oh.
That'd be a sweep.
We'll see if we get the opportunity. Hey, speaking of the NBA playoffs, I've brought this question up before on air, but I want to get Chris's opinion as well. What we're seeing right now in the NBA playoffs, does that change how you feel about the Rockets' off-season plan? We'll get to that next in the Loop.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.